And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is hard to believe. Each of my three guests is telling us something about an aspect of their life that's hard to believe. My first guest told us amazing stories about using social media to achieve hard-to-believe results. My second guest was truly the dean of hard to believe. He was the vice president of exhibits and archives for Ripley's Believe It or Not, and he told us some of his favorite oddities. My third guest brings us into the murky world of rare book thefts. Interpol, the international police force, estimates that theft of rare books is more widespread than fine art theft. And my next guest takes us inside of that world. If you want to join the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Allison Hoover Bartlett is the author of the book, The Man Who Loved Books Too Much, The Story of a Thief, a Detective, and a World of Literary Obsession. She's written on various topics, and including travel, art, science, etc., for a lot of publications that you would know. And she originally wrote an article on John Gilkey, the book thief. It was included in the Best American Crime Reporting in 2007. Allison has a BA in English from UC Santa Barbara, so she's very familiar with our area, and now lives in San Francisco with her husband and children. Welcome to the show, Allison. How are you today?
Thanks very much. I'm doing fine.
Well, good. We're glad to have you on the show. Now, just for my listeners who might not have a sense of this, help put it into perspective for us. Rare books are valuable. In fact, there's a story of the latest Edgar Allan Poe book, which was called Tame Lane and Other Poems. It's one of 14 original copies that is still left. It surfaced in New Hampshire. Somebody bought it for $15, and then later it was sold at auction for $198. $1,000. That's a great return on investment there. In your research, you found that it wasn't about the money, though. People who are bibliomaniacs, as you call them, it's really not about the money. You've interviewed bibliomaniacs and biblio-kleptomaniacs. What drives these people, Allison?
Well, it's really a passion for books. And one of the things that I was first interested in learning was what you just cited, that rare book theft is now more widespread than fine art theft. So, and there have been some very dramatic tales of book theft throughout history, ever since books were first published. But what I found especially interesting were those people who were stealing not for the reasons most thieves steal, jewels or cars or what have you, but those who were stealing books out of a love for them. They didn't care about the money. The man that I focused on, John Gilkey, who was the most prolific book thief in recent years, wasn't selling the books. He didn't care about their resale value so much. He just wanted to build a collection. And so it was that passion for the books, despite their great value, that intrigued me most.
Well, and you got drawn into this in kind of a fun little story. Do you mind sharing the story of how you even got turned on to the whole idea of book thievery?
Sure. Well, it started out as a kind of mystery because I was visiting a friend of mine, and his brother, unfortunately, had died several months earlier and had left among his belongings this beautiful old German botanical book. It had been published in 1630, and it had hand-painted illustrations and these brass clasps on the side. It looked like something that might have been a prop in a Harry Potter movie. It kept spells in it, you know. Mm-hmm. And with this book, there was a note from his brother saying, "A friend of mine checked this out from the library, and she forgot to return it, so will you please return it to this particular library anonymously?" I took one look at that book, and I thought, no way, can anybody check a book like this out from the library, and why should it be returned anonymously? So I wondered if the book was stolen, and that's what really got me on the trail of this story. I knew nothing about the rare book world at that point, but I wanted to know if you could trace the provenance of an old book to see who it really belonged to. So the next day, after seeing this book, I Googled something like stolen rare books, and I have to say, for a writer who's always on the lookout for a good story, this was like hitting the mother load. There was just one amazing story after the other about book theft. So that's really how I got drawn in. And then it was a combination of reading about how widespread book thievery was, reading the dramatic tales of theft from years past, and then finding this particular man, John Gilkey, who had been very recently stealing a lot of books and going to prison for it repeatedly. That really grabbed my attention.
We're talking to Allison Hoover Bartlett, everybody. She's the author of the book, The Man Who Loved Books Too Much. And it really does prove that truth is stranger than fiction. So in your book, The Man Who Loved Books Too Much, it's a true life story of two guys, Ken Saunders and his arch nemesis, John Gilkey. So tell us how this story played out, because I found it was fascinating.
Sure. Well, John Gilkey, the book thief, was particularly active over this three-year period of time, late 90s into early 2000s. And at the same period, coincidentally, there was this rare book dealer, Ken Saunders, in Salt Lake City, who had been appointed the security chair for the trade organization, the ABAA, that he belonged in. It's the Antiquarian Booksellers Association of America. So in this role, whenever one of his colleagues would suffer a theft, it was his duty to report it to the rest of them as soon as possible so that they could all be on the lookout. Because usually when a thief steals a book from a dealer, they will run across town to another dealer or go online and sell it. And if everybody in the trade has a description of this book, you know, it's a first edition Kerouac on the road, and it has a slight tear in the left-hand corner, whatever, they will be on the lookout for this book, and that's how they usually catch them.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with what John Gilkey was doing, one of the reasons he was so difficult to catch, is that these books were not showing up anywhere. Books were disappearing from dealers all over the country and eventually Canada as well, but nobody could track him because he wasn't selling them. They didn't show up online. They didn't show up at other dealers' offices. So Ken Saunders became as determined to catch this thief as Gilkey was to steal the book. So they were, as you said, nemesis. They were completely at odds with each other. And Ken Saunders is a very, very determined man with a strong sense of ethics and what's right and wrong. And he wanted nothing more than to figure out who Gilkey was and then catch him.
Well, that sort of begs the question, Allison. How frequently are book thieves caught?
Well, not often enough, Ken Saunders would say. You know, there's a problem in catching them and a bigger problem in punishing them. One of the reasons that they've been able to get away with it for so long is that there is a kind of culture of secrecy in the rare book world. This applies to both rare book librarians and rare book dealers. In both cases, they're reluctant to make public the news of a theft for a few reasons. In the case of rare book librarians, I think they're a little ashamed that they've let a book go missing, even though it's, of course, impossible if you've got a very clever thief to make every volume safe. But they don't want the public knowing this. They don't want to get a reputation as a library with lax security. And in addition to that, a lot of these rare volumes have been donated, and I think they want those donations to keep rolling in. They don't want people to be reluctant to give away their books to the library. In the case of rare book dealers, what will often happen is when a rare book collector decides to sell off a few books or, in fact, a whole collection, they will usually go to a dealer to handle the sale, and the dealer gets a commission. Well, if word gets out that this particular dealer has lost somebody's books, somebody's very valuable books, other collectors will be less than eager to work with him, so they will lose business that way. So people, dealers and librarians, haven't been going public, or there was a history of this culture of secrecy. What I noticed, though, in working on this book is just in the last couple of years that has started to change. In fact, last year, the British Library suffered a significant theft, and they went after the guy. They caught him. He ended up being sentenced to 2 years in prison. But they did something even more unusual than that, and they had a big media splash about this. They wanted the public to know, they wanted thieves in particular to know, that they weren't going to stand for this anymore, that they were going to prosecute. So I think there has been a change in the culture there. And in a way, it's too bad that there's less trust than there used to be, but it is protecting both the people who own the books and the books themselves.
We're talking to Allison Hoover Bartlett, everybody, author of the book, The Man Who Loved Books Too Much. Now, let's get back to the story. So Ken Saunders and his arch nemesis, John Gilkey, how did they end up catching Gilkey?
Well, I don't want to give away too much for people who may be just starting the book, but it was a combination of extreme diligence on Ken Sanders' part, and the fact that Gilkey became more and more bold and took more and more risks in how he stole the books. And Sanders had spread the word far and wide about Gilkey's particular mode of stealing and the kinds of things that he might ask for. So everybody in the trade who belonged to that organization was on high alert, and that's how he set things in motion. But there was a wonderful sting operation, and it seemed right out of a detective novel to me. So that was a fun part of the story to research and to write.
Well, and I think in your research, Allison, what was fascinating to me is you actually went to jail and you talked to John Gilkey in jail. And when you were there, did he have a chance to ever read your book? And if so, what did he think of it?
Well, you're right. The first time I met him, he was in prison, and he got out a few months later, I believe, and then we started meeting on the outside, and then he got caught again and went back in. So we continued meeting for about 3 years, both in and out of prison. He did read the article that I wrote first and said he enjoyed it and respected my opinion, I think, even though it differed from his about the way things happened or maybe even who he is. And then when the book was done, I mailed him a copy as a thank you present for spending so much time with me. And he hasn't got back to me about that. He has kept in touch every once in a while to see how the book is doing. he was checking the numbers on Amazon.
Worried about the rankings, is he?
Yeah. I think he was happy about the rankings, but he's never said anything about actually having read the book. But given the fact that he understood during the whole time I was interviewing him, I made this very, very clear that while I was listening to his story and I was listening to the stories of his victims and of law enforcement officials and all, it was ultimately my version of the story, that any writer can do is get as many of the facts as possible and write their version of how this happens. And so he seemed to be respectful of that.
Good. We're talking to Allison Hoover Bartlett, everybody. And one of the things that I find fascinating is we see thieves portrayed in the movies all the time. So to whom would you compare John Gilkey? Is he more like John Robey character, the fictitious jewel thief in Cary Grant starred in that role, Alfred Hitchcock's To Catch a Thief? Or is he more like Frank Abagnale, who is the check forger portrayed by Leonardo DiCaprio in Tom Hanks's Catch Me If You Can?
I'd say probably Frank Abagnale, because he's more earnest and polite than suave and debonair like John Robey in To Catch a Thief. You know, one of the things that struck me that first time I met him in prison was how polite and amiable he was. He does not seem like somebody who's done hard time many times at all. And this is another reason that book thieves, I believe, get away with their crimes so often, is that when they are in a courtroom, the judge has before him or her a very well-spoken, well-educated person who doesn't seem at all like a thief. So this juxtaposition, and looking at Gilkey, this juxtaposition of the bookish and the criminal was absolutely fascinating.
Well, you bring up an interesting point, because rare book theft is a white-collar crime. Obviously, the defendants are sympathetic there. Are the punishments serious enough, given the dollar value of these books that are stolen?
Not at all. In fact, even book thieves who have stolen millions of dollars worth of books, and there have been several of them, get very, very light punishment. And part of it, I think, is that those qualities that enable them to get away with it in the first place, what I just said, they're educated and polite and interested in books, and very adept at conning people usually, that helps them in the courtroom. And in addition to that, the crimes are seen as victimless, which I suppose in a sense they are. Nobody was bodily harmed, but we're all victims, because when somebody steals from a library, we all lose access to this book. And when they steal from a private collector or a dealer, we also lose, because those collectors who amass large collections of books often end up donating them or selling them to public institutions, and so we all get to enjoy them. So those are lost to us if they end up on a thieves' bookshelf instead.
We're talking to Allison Hoover Bartlett, everybody. Allison, rare book thefts are more common than many of us realize. Besides John Gilkey, who are some other fascinating rare book thieves that you ran across in your investigation? And what crimes did you find the most interesting or most unusual?
Well, first off, I thought it was kind of funny to learn that most book thieves throughout history have been either librarians or clergymen. So not exactly the people you usually consider criminals. But it does make sense because they have access to the books, they love the books, they're trusted guardians, and often they assume that they will be able to take better care of the books than whatever institution they're stealing them from. But specifically, there one that I loved reading about because it was so dramatic was about Don Vicente, who was a Spanish 19th century Spanish monk who ended up murdering 8 men for their books. And before he was caught. And even when he was caught, he didn't apologize. He felt that every man must die sooner or later, but great books live forever. So what he was doing was saving these books in some way. And another that was remarkable that was just very recent was David Slade. He was a respected dealer and former president of the Antiquarian Booksellers Association in the U.K., and a very wealthy collector, Evelyn de Rothschild, asked him to catalog his collection in 2001, and it wasn't until years later that Rothschild realized that David Slade had been pilfering from it. It turns out he stole over £250,000 worth of books.
That's $500,000, isn't it?
That's right. So even people who you wouldn't expect often turn out to be the guilty ones. So there were a lot of those stories, and many of them I have woven into the narrative of the book.
Well, it is a fascinating book. Of course, the title of the book is The Man Who Loved Books Too Much, The True Story of a Thief, a Detective, and a World of Literary Obsession. Allison, I ask this of many authors that come on the show. What did you get out of writing this book?
Well, I loved entering this very foreign world, the rare book world. I had never spent time among rare book collectors, and it was just amazing. It was a real pleasure, first of all, because of what they had to show me. They shared with me their most precious books, but also they were really good storytellers often. They had the first rare book fair I went to, I walked up and down the aisles talking to people about the books that they were selling, but also about any stories they had about rare book theft or other crimes in the rare book world, because there are many. And, you know, I spent a whole day there. This was in New York, and I never once heard the same story twice. Everybody had a different, colorful story to tell me. So that was a real pleasure. I also found that while the crime aspect was really intriguing, what became even more interesting to me was...
Allison, I'm afraid I'm going to have to cut you off. I apologize. We're running out of time. We're talking to Allison Hoover Bartlett, everybody, the man who loved books too much. We'll talk to you down the road. And that